deserve.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's nice to have you here. We've had a great morning already, haven't we? My name is Jack Crabtree. I'm one of the teaching pastors here. I heard about a church this week that was looking for a pastor. In fact, they even put a one ad out, you know, kind of see. And I guess a pastor who didn't have a job was calling the church, and they had a little phone conversation and did a little email back and forth. They said, well, why don't you come and speak at our church? He said, well, that would be fine. They set up a date. And he said, just tell me a little bit. What does your church want to do? I said, oh, we really want to reach out to people, and we really want to care for people. We really want to show Jesus to people in a very real way. So the Sunday morning came, and the leaders of the church looked around, and they didn't see anybody that looked like a potential pastor. They started their service. There was one man that was sitting back there and looked like he had come off the street. Kind of a homeless look to him with all that. Nobody seemed to sit too close to him. Kind of had a lot of space around him. And they threw it through everything. They took the offering. And they said, well, we're a little disappointed. We thought this morning our new pastor was going to come and just let us. And our pastor hasn't come. So does anybody know where our pastor is? Nobody moved except that one homeless man got up slowly and kind of walked down the aisle and came up towards the front. So he got to the front, he took off his wig and kind of took off his homeless clothes and kind of said, I'm here. I'm your pastor. I'm the one who wants to come to be your pastor. And they said, well, you're not what we were expecting, right? You're supposed to laugh a little bit, okay? I think you're a little nervous, like, oh boy, there's got to be But, you know, the idea that, you know, yes, we really want to reach out to people, but somebody comes in, doesn't look quite like us, and the pastor giving them a good little lesson with all that, right? Well, listen, this morning we're going to look at Jesus introducing himself in the synagogue. We're in Luke chapter 4. We've been talking about, our whole series has been introducing Jesus. Well, this morning's going to be really introducing Jesus. This is like Jesus coming out morning. This is like his day to kind of come back into his hometown and kind of have the big reveal to them and to say, you know, you want to know who I am? Well, I'm going to tell you who I am. So on page 1030, if you'd like to use the Shelter Rock Bibles, our passage this morning is from Luke chapter 4. Here's God's word to us this morning. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He was teaching there in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went up to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and there on that Sabbath day, he went to the synagogue, as was his custom. I'm going to stop there just for a second. I can't pass this up, okay? You know, there are some Sundays where I'm not preaching, where I kind of say, well, should I really go to church today or not, right? Kind of like, well, it'd be okay to stay home, you know, kind of, you know, just take a week off with all that. And it's very interesting that this little phrase just pops up here. Did you get the picture? Jesus, he went to the synagogue. He went to church every week. They said this was his custom. I bet it was it could have been a little dull for him. He probably said to everybody who's speaking, I think I've already heard this before, you know. Or maybe you could easily kind of say, I think I understand this a little better than how that, there's, do you get the point? Jesus said, yes, he went to be at the synagogue. We come to worship together, to praise God. We come to be with each other. This, you know, if it was important for Jesus to be in the synagogue, to be in church every week, then I think it's important for me to be here every week, whether I'm paid to be here or not, right? And I think the same is true for us. Sorry for a little sidetrack here, but Jesus is such a good example to us. So he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. He was unrolling it, and he found the place where it is written. Here's what he opens up. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Let's just stay right there for a second. It's very interesting when the Spirit of the Lord is on us, how it changes the way that we think and how we look at life. Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. Because the Spirit of the Lord is on me, I'm gonna not only tell you what God's word is, but I see God's word, I see God's world, I see my situation, I see all of you the way that God sees you. Because the Spirit begins to open our eyes, begins to let us have understanding as to what's going on in people's lives, what's happening all around us. So we really want to make sure that the Spirit of the Lord is on us, that we're not just following our plan for our life, for what would be best for us, how we would feel comfortable and fulfilled and happy. No, we want the Spirit of the Lord to be on us so that we could be understanding and doing His plan for us, so that He would be directing us and telling us what to do, that He would be saying, this is what I want you to do. And we'd be very sensitive to that. So Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because He's anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. Now, He didn't make this up. This is coming straight from the first verses of Isaiah chapter 61. And then He goes on and says, He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then He rolled up the scroll. He gave it back to the attendant and He sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on Him. And he began by saying to them, and here's what He said, today, this scripture is being fulfilled in your hearing. You see, they had read this passage from Isaiah for over 600 years. I mean, it had been part of their regular readings. I mean, everyone had looked forward to the day when the kingdom of God was going to actually come and be here on earth, when God was going to send His Messiah, when God Himself was going to come and be with us. He was going to turn things around. He was going to care for the poor. He was going to set the prisoners free. He was going to come and release the oppressed. He was going to come and give sight to the blind. They were looking forward to this day. And Jesus on that day says, today is the day. Today's the day. And it's been fulfilled because I'm here with you. I had a friend that used to live down in Florida. He said in the town where he lived in Florida, there was a little pub. It was called Scotty's Pub. And he said they had a sign out in front of Scotty's Pub. And it always said, free beer tomorrow. He said, I lived there for 6 years. There was never any free beer, okay? Well, you know, I think sometimes in church, sometimes even in our faith, we kind of always thinking about, oh yeah, God's got all these promises here, and he's tells us how things are going to get better and how all the answers are going to come. But it's always going to be someplace out in the future. It's always going to be someday way out there. Almost like tomorrow it's going to happen. Well, look, here in this day, Jesus stands up and says, these things you've been looking for, these things you've been hoping for, the things that will only be the healing of the world, it's happened right here. If you were here last week, Pastor Jerry did a great little illustration, a little chart. He kind of said, you know, this is how we divide time between, you know, before Christ came and then after Christ comes. And he said eternity doesn't start way out there in the future. The kingdom of God has come to be with us, and it came, you know, right when Jesus came. So the kingdom of God is already here. The kingdom of God is with us. We're still in an evil world. The day will come when Jesus returns and all evil will be gone, and the tears and the weeping and the sorrow and the sickness, that'll all be gone. But for where we are right now, we're not here by ourselves. The kingdom of God is here. Today is the day, and we're living in the midst of all this. And so we can see that, you know, that God is present here. He's in our world, not just to forgive us of our sins, not just to give us the promise of salvation. He's here to be with us so that His plan and His work can be done in this world through us. Now in verse 22, The people had a very nice reaction to Jesus. Look what they said in verse 22. They said, all of them spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. And then they responded and said, well, isn't this, maybe this is Joseph's son, isn't it? Isn't this the son from Joseph? He's just one of our boys growing up here. Like, almost like, well, how could this really be? How could he really be the answer that we've been looking for? And Jesus goes on in the rest of the chapter and kind of says, I know you're going to say, some of you are already doubting this. He said, but I'm telling you, God has sent me here to be part of this. They were kind of looking at Jesus and kind of says, well, what are your credentials? I mean, show us, if you really are the son of, if you're really the fulfillment of, you know, the fulfillment of the scriptures, well, show us, how can prove that to us? Well, Jesus says, my credentials are this. I'm speaking the word of God from Isaiah 61. I'm the fulfillment of all of that. In fact, John the Baptist was here just before me, and you've heard him speak. Remember how he spoke about repentance, how we need to come to repentance? He said he was the one that was preparing the way for me to come. If you take your Bibles and just turn back one page here to chapter 3, you know, John the Baptist came and challenged the people, said, make way, you know, prepare for the Lord's coming. And the people said, well, what should we do? How, you know, and he said, well, you should repent. If you were here last week, Pastor Jerry just really described and defined and explained to us what repentance was really all about. John the Baptist says, you need to repent. They said, well yes, we're repenting. Well, what should we do? So what did John the Baptist say? He said, anyone who has two shirts should share with one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same. John the Baptist says, show the fruit of your repentance. Don't just say, I repent. Don't just say, oh yeah, I really want to put God first. Let people see the difference in your life. So then the tax collectors came over to John the Baptist and said, well, what should we do? And what did he say? He said, listen, don't collect any more than you're required to. Stop being so greedy. Stop taking advantage of people just for yourself and for your own gain. And then the soldiers even came over to John the Baptist. They said, what should we do? John the Baptist speaks to them and he says, don't extort money from people. And don't accuse people falsely. And be content with your pay. I mean, good advice for all of us, right? People in power, we always tend to use our power for our own benefit. We tend to take from other people to get for ourselves. And John the Baptist was saying, listen, prepare the way, because guess what? There's a Messiah coming whose sandals I don't even deserve to put together. He says, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. John the Baptist says, this fulfillment of the scriptures is coming. His name is going to be Jesus. And when John baptized him there, it was really confirmed to the world, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. God announced to the whole world, his Messiah had come. His son was here. God was here with us. And today, the kingdom of God is with us with all these things. So maybe we should ask the question, God, what is it that you want us to do? Like the tax collectors, like the soldiers. What, God, what do you want us to do? What should our life be like? You know, if we're really God's people, I think God wants us to see the world the way that he sees the world, to be filled with his Spirit so that we can see the needs of other people, that we can care for the world the way that he does, not just a concern for their salvation. Yes, we are concerned. We all need our sins forgiven. The only way we can be reconciled with God is because of what Jesus has done for us. Not just concerned that their sins be forgiven and that we would go to heaven, but what about right now? What about people's physical needs right now? The people who don't have enough food, and the people who are under oppression, the people who are in slavery, the people who are struggling in some ways. What are we doing for these people right now? Wouldn't it be God's agenda? Wouldn't it be his purpose to be touching the lives of those people, to helping set them free with all these things? For God's people, we need to be very much concerned, very much interested in doing what he wants us to do. You see, God loves righteousness and he loves justice. Now, righteousness is kind of a churchy kind of word, but you know, it's very important to us because righteousness basically means that you basically are conforming to a standard that we all agree is right. When you go and pump gas at your filling station this week, you put the hose into your car and you squeeze the handle and all those numbers start changing. And you know, did you ever stop and think, I hope that what those numbers are saying is what's actually going into my tank, right? Now, it's good that we have inspectors that go out and they actually check those things to make sure that when it says a gallon is going from the gas station into your car, it really is a gallon. You can imagine the chaos and the mess it would be, you know, if every filling station was giving you a different amount of gas and calling it a gallon. I mean, the way that we hold things together is we've all decided this is what a gallon is. And we conform to that, and we all say a gallon is a gallon. And we understand that is a righteous gas pump, okay? Because it's conformed to what is true and to what's right. For us to be righteous people in God's sight is that we need to conform to what God says, to what his word says. And what his word says, if he says, this is what's right, then we say, yes, that's what's right. This is what we should do. Yes, that's what we should do. That's righteousness. And what is justice? Well, justice is righteousness in action. Justice is righteousness being applied to real life situations. Justice is doing for people what God wants to be done in that way. We're doing what's right and making it happen in people's lives. And God has decided that he wants us to do his work. In fact, Jesus took his disciples, he would teach them and tell them what is righteous and what's true, and then he sent them out two by two and sent them out into situations and said to them, you go tell people, you go show people. And in fact, he said that to the whole church, to all of us who know him and love him. In a sense, he's kind of made us his deputies. I don't know, growing up, I always wanted to be a cowboy, right? And one day they gave me a little silver star you could put on your little cowboy shirt. Like, I'm a deputy of the sheriff, right? I'm working for the sheriff. You know, and God has really wants to deputize all of you. I should have all of you raise your hand, okay? Remember, again, you get deputized, you got to raise your hand and agree to follow the laws and to do the work, you know, to protect the people and all these things. God wants to deputize us here in the kingdom of God to be his people, to go do his work and to spread righteousness and justice for him. Now today, as you saw if you were coming in, today is what we're designating as Freedom Sunday. It's not our idea. We're part of a much bigger movement. There are over 5,000 churches in like 51 different countries around the world who are celebrating Freedom Day today. It's really part of a project by the International Justice Mission. We call it IJM, International Justice Mission. And they have a very clear goal in that they would like to end slavery and oppression around the world in our generation. Now you might say, I think we already ended slavery, you know? We had a civil war here in the country, and I think we passed the laws. We don't have slavery anymore. Well, you need to take your blinders off and take a look around the world, because there's slavery going on in many places. In Southeast Asia, you see young girls, young boys being captured, put into the sex industry, and unable to be free, being abused, being used, and then just being thrown away. If you go to India, many great things going on in India, but there's also a slave trade in India, where they have what they call brick-making factories. And sometimes it's not just children that are enslaved, they have whole families, women and their children, and they're working there for very little, and they can't get away. If you go across Africa, you'll see that there are many countries in Africa where slavery is still in play. I mean, let's see if you could guess with me. How many fingers do you think it would be? How many millions of people? They already gave you a little clue, didn't they? Oh, I see. How many fingers would you have to hold up for each million of people that are still in slavery? You saw the number. How many people? Say it. 40 million people are still in slavery today. More slaves than there's ever been at any time in history. And you can see by the map here that IGM has done, you can see kind of where slavery is the dominant, where the red color is, that's where slavery is the most dominant. And people, many of us here in the West, we're just either oblivious to it or that we don't even care what's going on. And International Justice Mission has decided they're going to step into some of these hot spots. They're going to go into some of these difficult areas. And they're going to make a difference. They're going to go in and take action. One of the places that they've taken action is in the nation of Ghana, which is on the west side, the west coast of Africa. And so this morning I thought we'll just take a look at just one story. Story of one boy whose name is Foley, and see what happened to him. So take a look at this.
Years old. I follow grandfather to the farm and watch what he's doing. I am 9 years old. I never want to leave this place. I always help my grandfather in the market. When I left home with my uncle, I didn't see my grandparents anymore. The first time I went on the lake, I wanted to escape, but I didn't know the way. Me, my grandfather came for me, but he could not find me. My uncle said, "You forget about your grandfather." And he said, those are the people who come for small boys. So when they come, I should jump into the water and swim away.
I just want to know, how do you feel right now? Are you happy that there was kind of a happy ending to that story? I mean, this was filmed a couple years ago. The good news is that Foley is still with his grandfather. He's in school, he's doing well, and a lot of progress is his rescue really has worked. They're really working to help restore his life with all that. But how do you really feel watching that? Are you angry? Are you horrified? That probably, at the time when this was filmed, there were probably 12,000 young boys like that on the lake there in Ghana, enslaved, 12,000. And how many of you have someone in your family who's between 6 years old and 14? You know, either through parents, grandparents, even some of you here. Would it be okay with you, you know, that a boy six to 14 would be their life? Well, why did they use little boys like that? Well, number one, they don't eat much, they said, so we don't have to pay much for food. So that's good, we can get the most out of it. Number two is they have small fingers so they can reach into these nets and help get the fish out faster. And also, when they're little guys, they really can't fight back. So you really can take advantage of them, you know. They get bigger, then just get rid of them, you know. Dump them out, get them to get loose, tell them to get lost. You know, you just use people for your own benefit. That's really what this slavery thing is all about. Are you upset about this? Do you have that feeling in your heart right now, like, how in the world could this be going on? I mean, maybe you're even angry towards God, like, God, where is God in all this? Well, maybe an even better question is, where are God's people? All of us who've been deputized to bring God's message, to bring his news to this world, that, well, where are we in this whole situation? Well, I'm thankful for International Justice Mission. Thankful for what they're doing and how they're reaching out and how they're leading the way for us to do this. Thankful that they're willing to step out and to really help these children all around the world, to help these young girls in Southeast Asia, to help the families in India, in many, many other countries. There's many, many more to see. This after our service, you can see there's a table outside in the foyer. And Becky Padgett will be there. She's kind of our local representative here from the church. And Renee from IJM will be there. And they've got information for you. In your bulletin, you see that there's a packet or a little folder here that you can take a look at. Look at this next slide and see, let me show you what they're doing. Four parts of this program, the way that they're working this out. Number one is they're rescuing people out of city situations. And they're using local people to make all this happen. You can imagine how dangerous and how nasty and how tough this could be to get involved, because this is money, and the people will protect their vehicles, their people that they're using to make money. The third one over, it says they're also restoring the survivors. The people that they rescue, they have to kind of help get them reoriented to what life is all about, to help them with the trauma that they've been through, to help get them into education and to give them tools so that they can make a job and make a life and put their lives together with all that. Then they also talk about bringing criminals to justice. A lot of their top leaders are lawyers, and so they're training lawyers in other countries to talk about how to bring these things forward so that you can go after these slave traders, these slave owners, these people who are taking these children and using them, and put them in jail. Because just rescuing people, you'll never catch up. And so they're trying to bring the criminals. Stop these people who are doing these terrible things. And then finally, they're trying to strengthen the justice system in these countries. In these situations in Africa and other places, guess what? The slave traders, they go to the government. They pay the people off. They pay the police. They say, turn, look the other way. put us back out on the street. Yeah, we'll pay a little fine. Just forget about us. And they've been very successful in doing this. But the IJM is saying, no, we're going to keep working till government's going to raise awareness that people are going to see the needs for all this. I was just talking to someone after the first service. They were at the United Nations this week, and they said, guess what? At the United Nations this week, this is one of the topics that's on the list for all the meetings that are going to go on in these next couple weeks. God's people starting to do something about this. And what I've heard from the IJM people, these are people of faith. In fact, every worker, every staff in the IJM is an active Christian, has an active faith, and they take time every day, specifically as part of their job every day, to pray for a significant amount of time. And they prayed in situations that they've seen the governments change. They've seen people who are corrupt leaders be deposed and more godly leaders put into place. God is at work. We have a chance to be a part of all that. So we bring this to you today to kind of say, hey, let's wake up. Let's be really world citizens. Let's be world Christians. And let's see the world the way that God sees the world. And let's let God use us. He's blessed us in so many ways. We have so many resources. We have so much education. We have so many opportunities. Should we be using it just for our own comfort, for our own satisfaction and our own fulfillment? Or should we be using what God's given us to build his kingdom and to save people's lives? Not just save their souls, yes, they do need Jesus, but to save their lives so that they can come to the point of being able to understand how good God is, that we could start a revolution here in the world, a restoring. The kingdom of God come to earth, and we're God's people advancing that kingdom. Is anybody here with me in all this? So you could take this today. You could give a gift to them. We'd encourage you to do that. Renee told me that on this day, they have some major donors who are willing to double your gift. They'll match your gift entirely. Whatever you gave, they will double that. And so with all of these 5,000 churches today that are going forward with all this, we'd like to empower them and help them. Maybe when you go to the table, you could also find out how you could be involved locally. There's no address here on this, so you either have to put it in the offering today, and we'll give it to them, or you can give it to them at the table, or go to the table and get their contact information, and maybe you want to do something later and help with all of that. The other thing is that we're doing something here locally about this. If you haven't seen Santosh, Paulus, he and his family come here to the Syosset Church. And Santosh, you know him, Santosh and his brother and some of their family, they rode their bicycles across the United States two summers ago, because they wanted to really speak out against stopping human trafficking. Santosh is a doctor in the Northwell system. I read recently in the paper that at a big meeting where Santosh was with all the Northwell top executives, the Northwell medical system has decided that they're putting in a protocol now for any young woman who comes into the emergency room and needs to be interviewed to kind of talk about what's going on. They're alerting people to kind of, their receptionists to kind of see and to ask the questions that can identify young women who are being trafficked. And so they can looking for the signs. Sometimes they brought in with their pimp, their trainer, their manager, and they're a way to kind of get them away and create a situation where they can escape from this whole situation. Santosh has helped to change the way a hospital looks at the people in our community. He's doing God's work. And guess what? We can help him. They have a big golf outing tomorrow if you want to play golf. They have a walkathon and bike-a-thon coming up in October. You can help raise some money. The money that he's raising is going to go help things locally and also help the IJM and support them and what they're doing with that. You see, God can use you where you are. And God can use us to reach out to help people around us so that they can understand what God wants them to do. You know, what is it that God wants us to do? I love what it says in Micah. Chapter 6, verse 8. Perhaps you've read it in the past, but maybe this morning it even takes on more impact in your life. Read it with me. What does the Lord require of you but to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? Pretty simple, pretty straightforward, but yet pretty challenging for all of us who are used to just living for ourselves. God says, open your eyes, look around, see the people who are there, who need justice, who need kindness, who need mercy, and just, you know, show your walk with me by the way that you treat others. You know, another thing that brings out of this passage is God gives us the opportunity in our Western culture to help the people who are caught in addictions. People who are oppressed and captive to their own weaknesses, their own struggles with these things. I mean, here at the church, Alcoholics Anonymous meets 5 times a week. They have a service here, or they're a meeting here every Sunday morning before our first service. Narcotics Anonymous meets here on Saturday mornings. Their group is growing. Both of these groups are doing tremendous work. And we're opening our church and being a part of this because they're helping to set people free from the things that are destroying their life. We're also, as you saw from Pastor Steve, this whole idea of pure desire and this conference is coming up in November. Again, another way for us to help people, to show them that God can bring them freedom, that God can save them from from being captive to this, some of these bad thoughts and bad actions that are destroying them and destroying others. And so we're active, we're involved in all these things, and we're asking God to show us what he wants us to do with all of these things. I don't know if you've ever seen a movie by the name of Taken. It's a secular, popular movie. Liam Neeson is in it. In the movie, it's depicted that Liam Neeson's beautiful young teenage daughter is abducted, stolen, and they taken, you know, given to traffickers, and they're moving her to Europe, then to North Africa, they're moving her with that. And Liam Neeson knows that she's been taken, and he's not going to stop until he finds them. He says, I'm coming to get her, and whatever I have to do, I will do. It's a pretty rough movie, okay? The language is a little rough, and the violence and some of the other things. But the message that comes through that movie is he loves his daughter so much, he's not going to let her be taken. And he fights through everything and just keeps going. He's relentless until his daughter can be found and released from all of that. I just wonder if that isn't a way that how God wants us to look at our world. You know, how would you react if, you know, a young person in your family was taken? I bet you would do everything. You would turn over every stone to find release and freedom for them. I think God wants us to look at everyone in the world, each child who has just one life, who don't have a grandfather or a father to look for them, and God wants to use us to go look for them and to bring freedom to them. Are you with me? God's word is speaking to us today. He wants to be busy breaking the chains. He wants us to ask ourselves, in what ways have we been blind? How have we been deaf? How have we been captive and been captured by other things that have taken us away from what God wants us to be? Today, the words of Jesus can be fulfilled in our lives. Maybe we've heard them many times before. You know, how many times you've been to church, you've heard, oh yes, he'll set the captive free, and we just let it roll right past us. But maybe today, that God is touching into your life and speaking to you. His Spirit's talking to you. You know that you're caught. Maybe God's word wants to be fulfilled in your life today. You can surrender yourself to him and let God's work in your heart begin to change you and set you free. And I think what God wants us to do is to set us free, and he wants us to be part of his army. His army of warriors, kind of going out and bringing justice to the world. Amen? Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, you've shook us up. You've shooken us up this morning. And you've taken the blinders off of our eyes. Forgive us, Lord, for the times, the many days of our life that we just thought only about ourselves. Sometimes we haven't even thanked you and for all that you've given to us. So, Lord, we do thank you today for loving us, that even while we ignored you and turned away from you, that your Son Jesus came and laid down his life for us. Thank you for taking all of our sin on yourself so that you could make us righteous. You could set us right with God because of what Jesus has done for us. We thank you, Lord. We cannot save ourselves. We thank you for saving us through Jesus. We thank you for giving us a place in your kingdom. And Father, we pray now that you would open our eyes and help us to see that you want to use us to bring righteousness and justice to this world. Father, use us to be part of the rescue of people who are caught in situations that are destroying them. Father, use our resources to help empower people to enter in with governments and enter in with society situations, into our hospitals, into our schools, into our media, to let people see, Lord, what it is that you have said is right, so that we can stand up for you and for your holiness, and that we can help people be set free. So, Father, I pray that you'd awaken each one of us and show us how we can be your people, doing your work and setting people free. Jesus, we thank you now in your wonderful name. Amen.